I got a story to tell you. Old Jimmy Buck was in the chicken coop. Gone on and shot his dick off. Gone and shot his dick off, he did. Me and old Jimmy wouldn't try to find that dick he shot off. We couldn't find it. I think the chickens grab it in that chicken coop. Anyway, we fixing to go get him a new one at the store in town. His dick fell off.
This is the Grapes of Rad, show number 33. Dude, the listener is going bonkers, and I love it. Like, the website is blowing up. It's been a good week for these grapes. Hello, Aaron Mason.
Hangover.
My name is Ben Parsons, and I am not hungover. Apparently, I am also not hung. Or slightly more than half the listener would say so.
48% something, I think.
Yes.
Not bad.
Yes. Could have been worse.
How are you, dude?
Dude, I still have some kind of problem with my...
You want to narrow that down, please?
My cavities. I have a theory that goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
The sinus region in the front of my head, as it is packed with slime, begins to push back on the prefrontal cortex and makes me stupid.
Well, I'll tell you who is not stupid. The listener.
No kidding, dude.
Dude, tons of great stuff. Hey, everybody. This show is jam-packed with listener contributions.
I'm really looking forward to it.
One we even teased on Twitter because listener Jamie went above and beyond and did something thoroughly amazing. I can't wait.
Dude.
Can't wait to share it. All your faves segments and bits, minus Hey Bartender. It's the end of the term again, so
Yes.
William the Student is in high gear. But he will return one of these days. But we have some awful poetry, and we have links and funds and...
Oh, man.
All sorts of hijinks brought to you by the Grapes of Rad.
The listener imported this week is like one of those bombs, like the old Spy versus Spy kind of bombs that's...
The
like
round one with
a
the
black
fuse.
Ball.
Yeah.
The fuse is lit. Watch out.
It is. I went this week.
Yeah.
And I saw Star Trek. At the IMAX theater.
How much was that again?
$17.
See, when you invited me and I declined, I had no idea it was going to cost me like almost $100.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It's no joke. They bend you over.
How was it?
I can't remember the last time.
Oh, okay.
I
have no idea.
Everybody's been pimping this movie and saying it's really good.
Right.
Like, and so I had some pretty high expectations. Yeah. I'm not one of these like convention types, but I've seen me some Star Trek, you know. And I can't remember the last time I had my expectations met at the movies.
Really?
As high as they were.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Wow.
The
capital fan.
So it starts out. We're at the IMAX, and there's a line to get into the theater. So we're standing in line down there underground where they have you get in. Have you ever been at the Science Center?
Yeah, a long time ago.
You like, spiral around the outside of the theater,
okay,
and you work your way, corkscrew your way down. And so we're in the line outside of the door, and they let us in, and we're sitting there, we're waiting, and then the gentleman gets on the microphone, and is going to welcome everybody.
Says something in Klingon.
The first words, dude, out of his mouth are in Klingon. For reals.
How did I?
Dude,
I
mean... you're on it. You're on it.
Aaron is wearing some prosthetic Spock ears. This morning.
And everybody's just like... like, no, dude. And he's like, well, hello and hi. And then he goes through his spiel, right? And he mentions how there are no ads. There are two previews and no ads.
Oh.
And everybody starts cheering, and he's nice. Like, oh, well, you liked that. Like, yeah, dude, come on. But,
That's really funny.
The screen is like a billion feet tall. It's huge. And like 12,000 watts of this sound that they had this thing where they, you know, when they do like, turn off your phones and shut the fuck up while we watch this movie type announcement. Uh-huh. They do one of those, and they had this ring happen, like in the back corner, like a phone ring.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, this dude. And he was like, oh, like, sorry about that.
Oh.
And then the lady on the tape was like, you know, don't worry, like, no problems. Like, it was all pre-recorded and just mixed.
But it sounded really
real.
It
was so convinced. I went with Cam, dude, and he's a professional audio engineer, and he bought it. Like, it was amazing.
Wow.
So, anyway.
That's pretty. See, now I kind of wish I would have gone.
IMAX in general is. If you have the opportunity to see a movie at the IMAX theater, it's well worth the extra money to go see it. But, dude, this movie, it was a perfect mix of telling a kick-ass new story and appealing to the fans, you know? And they didn't do it in such a way that distracted or took away from... Like, they made a lot of references to old stuff, you know, like, damn it, Jim, mama, you know, and that type of stuff that you're waiting. I've given her all she's got, Captain. Like, those lines are in the movie, but they're not done in a cheesy way.
That's hard
to believe. It's really
but I will,
pretty amazing, man.
I will use
and the
faith.
Score. I love the music. It was real 60s, a lot of brass and sort of that old. I think they did a perfect job with it. I know. It also was a movie about, like, there's some time travel in the movie.
Of course. Yeah.
They
have to speed up and then slingshot around the sun.
They pretty much took care of it, like, reasonably. I only had, like, two minor issues with the story.
The physics.
When you're dealing with... Yeah. It actually, one is a physics issue. And the other one is a biological issue.
That creature could not survive on that planet looking the way it does.
Yeah. Pretty much. But, listener, go see it.
Wow,
it's really good. Even if you know nothing about Star Trek, you're gonna dig it big time.
I probably will.
You probably should.
Yeah.
What did you do? That is all I did this, except for the how-to special.
The how-to.
That is all I did this week.
I listened to the how-to while doing the dishes.
Yes.
And I had to pause and call you before finishing. Because I was laughing so hard. My favorite part was when, after the anaconda, how to survive an anaconda attack.
Oh my God.
When Chrissy goes,
holy shit.
I was not expecting that. And it was, thank you, Chrissy.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to go. We hope that this will slingshot you into a career of voiceover glory. At least with the Grapes of Rad, if
she's
not.
She's awesome, man.
Someone else.
She's awesome. She had a very busy schedule, and she took time. Like, she's getting married and stuff. Like, she's got a lot going on.
We could probably do some kind of live show at the wedding. Can you imagine?
Dude.
Everyone's just like, dude. Boo!
Chrissy, who's like the sweetest person in the world, like, and all her friends are just like upstanding people, except for like us. Where they're like, look at this broad. Woo! That'd be a nightmare. I was at Flowers last night, which is a good chunk of the reason I sound the way I do this morning. And we were talking, Will was like, I was sitting with this guy, Alex, who has a great website, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Right.
I want to pimp, but he's a great dude, and we met up there to kind of go over some maybe like cross promotional ideas and, you know, stuff like that. And William was working. And if you guys, P.S., if you haven't been to Flowers and you're sort of in the region, go, because it's a really good bar.
Seriously.
Like, the vibe is great. The drinks are good. Like, it's not this podunk, you know, and it's not this frat thing. Like, it's you can sit at a table and get plowed next to like a family having dinner, and it's like, it's cool. Like, it all
it's cool with you. It might
somehow
not be okay with them, but it's cool.
No, they're dead.
There are mirrors on the ceiling, listener.
Yes.
And what happens is about halfway through, you'll notice them, and then it's hard to not just stare up at yourself.
It is pretty awkward.
There I am.
So the reason I started that story is because you mentioned a live show.
Yeah.
And we were talking last night about, I mentioned how we had talked about doing like a remote from Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a podcast that William listens to called 7 Second Delay. And they just did that. They just had like a barbecue, which is pretty much what I wanted to do. And they had like eating contests and games and stuff. And I started thinking about like, oh, there's a lot of cool things we could probably do.
Hatchet throwing
over the air. Yeah, that was one of them. Throwing a hatchet at a target. See who's better. We'll sign people up. I thought maybe we could do, because, you know, Shelton, we could get 3 categories of like whiskey, like some like cheap, like the cheapest thing we can find, and then like a mid-grade bottle, and then something that's like really nice, and have pick people to have blind taste tests, you know, like William or like Jeremiah. Listener Jeremiah knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that'd be
just get some people who
I would like
think
to do it with
their
someone
stuff
who has no idea.
And then we'll put it, the ringer. We'll get them in there too. Yeah.
Or maybe some kind of cheap beer test.
Uh-huh. That yeah.
might be good.
I mean,
too.
The possibilities are endless.
I like it. It's sunny.
A grilled Twinkie eating contest.
My hopes are high. Dude, this week,
yes, sir,
in the news, I heard some sad news as I was driving from school to work, that the Fiat car company, you may have heard of them.
I have.
They're closing a bunch of their dealerships in the U.S. And I was like, Fiat has dealerships in the U.S.
That's what I was thinking.
I was listening on the radio. They're like doing this economic report. They're like, da 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 da, Chrysler, Fiat. Fiat's going to close hundreds of dealerships in the U.S. I was like, what? Have you ever seen a Fiat? Have you ever seen one? I think I saw one like 15 years ago.
I know.
In Shelton. Like, that's the last one I saw. Not a Fiaro, a Fiat.
Oh, man. What is that about?
I don't know, but it's awesome. It just reminds me that our listener is diverse in experience and longitude. I'm sorry about the mucus, listener.
That's all right, dude.
My wife thinks I should get a neti pot. Do you know what?
Oh, a neti pot.
Do you know what that is? Is it neti?
I thought it was neti. My grandpa used
neti
one for a while.
Because it sounds like kind of crazy. It's probably neti.
You pretty
like
much
it's a little thing you put like hot water in and then you dump it up your nose.
Uh-huh.
And then water comes out the other side or something.
You pretty much do the liquid version of like what Lloyd Bridges did in Hot Shots with the rag. You know, he takes the handkerchief up and down his nose. You remember Hot Shots?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Dude!
Yeah, dude.
VHS pick.
Yeah!
I didn't have one.
Oh, well, there
You're
it is.
You're making my day.
There it is.
Hot Shots and possibly Hot Shots Part D. Yeah,
there you go.
See, this is the part where the listeners who have just graduated from high school are going, what the fuck? Hot?
She's old what? Bastards.
Like, I was one when that movie came out. I was one.
Oh, you missed out.
I think I saw both of those in the theater. Like, Daniel and I were totally down with the, like, the Naked Gun and all those, like, the knockoff kind of movie satires.
Oh, Top Secret. You remember that one with Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Dude.
Yep, yep.
Quality. Now I'm jealous.
I just saw Val Kilmer in something, and he was large.
Yeah.
What was that?
He's put on a few.
Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I watch so many movies right now that I can't remember which movie it was. He was big.
Movie recommendations after the break, Grapes of Rad. Voice man. Grapes of Rad. Grapes of Rad. Call us up. Leave us a message. Digits. Tell sex messed up. 6464.
6. 2, 4, 1, 6, 1. Hit me with it one more time. I don't know if I can remember all that. One more time. Say 6, 4, 6, 4, 6, 2, 4, 1, 6, 1. 6, 4, 6, 4, 6, 2, 4, 1, 6, 1. Get into this now, come on. 6, 4, 6, 4, 6, 2, 4, 1, 6, 1. 6, 4, 6, 4, 6, 2, 4, 1, 6, 1. Extension 0, 3, 7, 7, 9.
Ask your parents first.
Extension 0, 3, 7, 7, 9.
Must be 18-year-old.
Extension 0, 3, 7, 7, 9. Extension 0, 3, 7, 7, 9. Voicemail.
Call the voicemail, baby.
Grapes are rad.
Hit us up, let us know where you is.
646-462.
Then the digits.
4161.
Then the digits.
And your drop
dial
code.
Dial it on your cell phone. Program.
03779.
Insert a space. Insert dial the extension automatically.
That's right. Call that voicemail. It's free.
It is free.
If you have, you know, long distance.
Who doesn't have, like, is that still an issue?
I don't
Are we
know.
Still dialing the operator? Know. Connect me to San Francisco. Yeah.
It's like that Angelina Jolie movie. She's, like, roller skating around. What's it called? Shoot. See, I'm having some kind of movie name block.
Does she roller skate in Hackers?
No, it just came out.
Because I know they do that through the station or something. It just came out.
Yeah, yeah. It's the one that takes place. We talked about it.
The Changeling?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
She roller skates in
yes.
that?
Yes.
Oh.
The operators, all these women, phone operators, and they're sitting in front of the huge uh-huh. banks, and uh-huh. she's like, the managers roller skate around so they can get around quicker.
No way.
Yeah. At first, huh. I was like, ha, huh? And she's wearing like this microphone thing around her neck.
Yeah.
I think
that
we
horn,
need those.
That microphone horn.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Dude, I watched a DVD last night. This mm-hmm. is a new release called Battle in Seattle.
Okay.
And it's about the WTO protests that happened.
Yes.
In what, like 99, I think? Something like that.
Something like
and
that.
And the movie, it has a few, you know, big names in it or whatever. The movie was pretty hacky. Like,
okay.
The acting wasn't that great, and there was like...
Oh, it was fiction.
Yeah, there are chunks of actual footage from the
okay.
riots,
okay.
like interspersed,
okay.
which that and those are the parts that I loved.
Okay.
Like, that's what really made me like the movie. But a lot of the rest of it is like, they're like clearly like trying to make you like cry during this part, or be excited during this part,
yeah,
you know, and the acting's
yeah, yeah.
just kind of like...
Yeah.
But... It's filmed in Seattle, and so there's these scenes where people are walking through the convention center, or they're walking across an intersection or a sidewalk or whatever,
uh-huh.
and I'm just like, that's my city! Like,
yeah.
And I'm like so into it,
yeah.
because it was, watching it on TV, I watched the whole thing happen on TV from Shelton. I wasn't in Seattle at that point.
Oh, word.
And, or if I would have been, I would have been there, you know?
Uh-huh.
But like, I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't know what the WTO was or anything.
Right.
So, this is, if you want to know more about what happened, it's a good movie for that. It's fairly informative.
Okay.
And if you want to, if you like Seattle and you want to see some footage of the actual city and of some shit going down,
uh-huh.
then it's worth it for that, too. The acting is fairly laughable. So,
yes.
I don't know if that makes it a DVD, what... That makes it exactly, but
I have a recommendation that is a poorly acted movie.
That's the theme for the week, listener.
Theme for the week:
bad acting. Show number 33.
Let me just throw out the two stars. Ready? Lorenzo Lamas, TV's Renegade.
Okay.
And Debbie Gibson.
Oh my god.
That's right.
What?
The title. Of this feature film, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
No way!
Dude.
How have I not seen this?
There is a clip. I linked to a picture in one of the comments. Listener Joey Tractor
uh-huh.
made a comment about some animal doing something, and I'm like, you know, how about a shark eating the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a link to a picture. It's from the movie. It's this giant shark... Like, out of the water, clamping down on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Biting the Golden Gate Bridge's cock off.
Yes, we will have a link to the trailer at at the links page
when
at grapesofrad.com. It's
out?
Like coming out now. Like
with Debbie Gibson?
Yeah, dude. It is in the now.
I'm so down. And you know that's going to be playing at one of these little theaters.
Yes.
Oh,
I hope so.
Oh, dear God. Dude, Mega Shark?
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And it is like, it is this CGI abortion. And they spent, they had to have spent millions of dollars on this thing. Like, the production values, aside from the special effects, are fairly high.
Solid.
You know, and I'm sure it takes a chunk of chains to get Llamas. In on a project.
Jeez, Woody Harrelson was in mine.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, I gotta tell you about this story listener Wade sent me.
Yeah.
He sends me BBC links from time to time. Thank you, listener Wade, /DJ Kilt/DIYGourmet.ca. Cook to the stars.
Quite a resume.
Yes. He is a highly educated stagehand.
Yes.
This is so great, dude.
No.
This is, okay, here's the setting. We're in a helicopter flying over a very wealthy part of England somewhere. Mm-hmm. Giant mansions, like terracotta roofs. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Is this a maps thing?
No.
No? Okay.
Huge estates, like hedges, like The Shining, like
giant.
And as you're going over one of the houses, you're like, is that a huge cock and balls?
Yeah.
Painted on the roof of that house?
Yes.
An 18-year-old has secretly painted a 60-foot drawing of a phallus on the roof of his parents' $1 million mansion in Berkshire. It was there for a year before his parents found out.
Wow.
Have you seen the picture of this?
Yes.
It is,
It is huge. It's this big white
of a
cock.
House. It's like a chunk of this mansion has a flat roof for some reason.
Man.
And he got up there and painted a 60-foot schlong on top of his parents' mansion. They didn't know. It was there for a year. And this is my favorite part. They say he'll have to scrub it off when he gets back from traveling. It's like... Really? Like, he's on world tour. Like,
yeah, right.
Now, you shouldn't have painted a huge dick on top of our house. You get your ass up there.
The reason I said maps is because I'm pretty sure he was found out because somebody was on Google Maps.
No way!
And I've seen a picture of the Google Map view of this house. That's the picture I saw.
We have a photo we'll be posting on the site.
Excellent.
That is a great way to find... Yeah, because it would... Well, the Google Maps is like several months behind. It's not, you know...
It's not live.
Yeah. Or is it a year?
But it was
how
up
far
there.
Behind
it depends on when they take the picture.
Huh.
Yeah, and they just...
Oh, dear God.
It was up when they were doing that.
It just reminded me of another movie thing.
Okay.
I watched Eagle Eye a couple weeks ago, which is the movie.
Right.
And dig this premise. We're talking movies here, a little bit, listener. So, chill out, maybe get some popcorn. There's these satellites. Wait, no! I'm mixing up my...
Dude, you've told two words of a story.
I'm thinking of Deja Vu. They both had these.
What
like,
are you watching?
Crazy high tech. I've been sick. I've been just Netflixing like constantly. Like as soon as one shows up, I'm like, I stick it in the machine, and
then
I just
Will
sit there.
Smith and Royal Tannenbaum are in a van and they're running, and
then they say you'll shoot your eye out. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's not.
All right, next.
Dude.
Can I say I was listening back?
Dude.
I was listening back to the show, and I noticed a few things.
Ugh.
And I would like to address them.
Please do. If it's important, please take care of it. I am unable.
Yeah, you're like crying, allergy crying is what you're doing right now. I forgot how much I liked Third Eye Blind. When you started singing and I played that song and then it cut off and went to a voicemail, I wanted to hear more of that song.
The funny thing was,
I sort of sounded like the guy. Like, I was trying to be funny, but I kind of actually sounded like him.
That's how he does.
I mean, I went way out of key at the end, you know, but the beginning, that's pretty much what it sounded like.
There was this, my friend, Dr. Bronstein of your boys' boys. We went to high school together, and
he's on the how-to.
We had this friend. His name was Sean, but we called him either Fat Stevens or Double B with the bra size Triple Z. Those were his nicknames.
Ouch.
He was a large lad, and he was on the football team. And Dr. Bronstein told me this story about how they were in the locker room, and my high school was pretty evenly mixed racially, and a lot of the football team were black guys. And they would always listen, like, they would get pumped up before games, and they'd have, like, you know, DMX was pretty big at the time. It was like this real aggressive, like, hip-hop stuff. And Sean is, he's like, hey, guys, I wanna get souped. That's what they were calling, getting souped. Like, oh, I want to get souped. I have this song. Like, let me play this song. They're like, all right, you know, all right, whatever. And he puts on Jumper by Third Eye Blind and just starts belting every word to this. Like, not only did he put on that song, but he knew every single word. I don't know how far into the song he made it.
Wow,
but he
dude.
Busted that out.
Only really big dudes can do stuff like that. Like Seth.
I didn't say big, I just said fat.
Don't do it.
Seth, who lives in Spokane, is opening up a sort of franchise of Varachi Pizza. Do you know this?
I've been kind of like following it, but I'm like, I don't really get it.
This dude Marshall started it out here, and it's this awesome like wood-fired pizza oven on a trailer.
Yeah.
And he goes to farmers markets, and it's the best pizza in Seattle.
This is how good it is.
It's the best pizza in Seattle, and Seth is starting
to make sweet love to that pizza.
He's starting it up in Spokane.
Cheese dripping down my thighs.
Gross.
Hey, Ben and Aaron, it's Jamie. So I want to put my laundry away. I've been doing laundry all day, but your podcast isn't posted yet, and I'm afraid that it's going to be left here on the couch in a pile, because I can't do it unless I'm listening to your podcast. Okay, thanks. Bye.
What's that?
That song is it's douchey.
It's Don Henley.
I love to hear the phrase, I can't do it without listening to your podcast.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It could be in regard to anything. Whatever it is. Maybe it's riding the bus, baking bread. So what seems to be the problem? I can't climax without listening to the Grapes of Rahatan. The what? It's a podcast. It makes your dick bigger.
It does.
Dude, I feel like I'm juggling it knives does. Over here. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
No, dude,
I'm
don't
just
worry. It's
injuring
magic.
Myself.
It's magic. That was listener Jamie, with whom and I are attending a concert tonight.
Oh, right.
Along with Zach the Awful Poet.
The great Dave Bazan.
Oh, man. Very excited about that. Jamie sent us an email, and this... I can't describe how awesome this is, so I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna read you this email.
Do it.
Dear Grapes of Rad, unbeknownst to you, Aaron F. Mason and Ben Q. Parsons III,
what?
Over the past 10 weeks, I have been conducting a personal study of the Grapes of Rad podcast. It all began around arbitrarily chosen episode 10, when I could not stop myself from fixating upon a particular word in your vocabulary. The word in question was dude.
Dude?
Dude. Dude has not been in common use in my vocabulary since the early 90s.
Dude?
Partially fascinated and partially repulsed, I decided to offset my anxiety by focusing on the object of my discontent and creating something useful. Since Dude. Ben and I are both in psychology classes now and experts on human behavior, he will understand what I mean when I say, this project provided me with the successful sublimation of my anxiety regarding the word dude.
Dude.
What is this elusive project, you ask? I sought to quantify the use of the word dude in each episode to see if I could decipher a pattern. Beginning with
At this point, when I'm reading this email on my phone in my kitchen eating breakfast, I'm shaking and crying.
I couldn't...
I mean, I'm not kidding. I was crying, and my kid is like, can I see... Like kind of a mixture of, like, either this is really good or really bad.
Yeah,
like,
did...
What happened? And, like, I can't explain it, of course. Like, someone listened, you know.
I just have no... This is... Okay.
Oh,
this
so
is so amazing.
So great.
Beginning with episode 23 and ending with episode 32... I counted each dude uttered and attributed it to the speaker. The results were astounding, as were the fact that you did this test, Jamie.
Yes!
With the data compiled, I hesitate to publish them for fear that your dude use would be compromised or diminished due to a newly found self-awareness.
Dude.
Trust that my intention is not to discourage your use of the word dude. I am simply sharing my findings that may be of interest to you. Dude, don't worry about it. The results are as follows. Aaron appears to be inconsistent with his use of the word dude. Repeated use accounts for most of his accumulation, as in dude, dude,
dude,
dude. This is generally accompanied by an excited state. Ben, on the other hand, is more conversational with his dudes and is therefore more quantifiably consistent.
Thank you.
An average of 45 dudes were used per episode, with an average of 0.51 dudes per minute. On average, Aaron uses 19.7 dudes per episode, and Ben uses
25.3!
Ben is therefore the grand winner of dudes, with a total of 253 dudes. Aaron comes in at a not-so-close second with 197. I have accounted for a 2% margin of error due to my terrible attention span and lack of math skills. I have included a graph that illustrates my findings. As you will notice, it uncannily represents a heart monitor. If we think of it in these terms, then Aaron appears to be alive and well, while Ben flatlined about 3 weeks ago.
Indeed.
Nevertheless, Ben is our hero, our winner of Total Dudes. For his unknowing participation and subsequent victory, he will receive one I Heart Saying Dude mug from Cafe Press. Congratulations, Ben, you son of a bitch bastard.
Best prize ever.
Better luck next time, Aaron. As for me, says Jamie, I have made peace with the word dude and look forward to hearing from it in the future. Dude, Jamie.
I am so happy about this. I mean, not just because I won, but the whole thing, like, number one, I'll have a great coffee cup to bring to the show from now on.
Yes!
Number two, when we first started doing the show together, I was like, I want to have a phrase that I say that will be sort of like... not super cheesy canned, but something that people, right, like not like quite like Urkel, you know, but something that people will sort of begin to identify with me, and somehow it became yes, dude. Like,
yes,
and I
yes,
say
dude.
It in conversation all the time now. Like, I'll be talking to people on the phone and I'll be like, yes, dude, or like, no, dude. And I don't know exactly where it comes. It sounds like maybe Lebowski influenced.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible.
But, thank you, listener Jamie. We wish you all the best. I hope that you get some kind of credit for this in your personality class.
And in
personality,
life.
Personality, right? Yeah.
man, I really don't, like, I'm astounded by that.
There is a graph. The graph will be posted.
You know what this
on
is?
The website.
Yes, yes, the graph will be posted in the blog on
this
the
is
site.
Science, people.
Okay, Jamie, I took a personality test on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and I got my little Myers-Briggs INTJ four-letter personality
type. Oh,
it was
that one? Uh-huh.
And Jamie got, like, INFJ, and she wrote back, and she's like, hey, I'm just like you, but with feelings. And this is a perfect illustration. Like, I don't know too many people besides me who would do something obnoxious like this.
Oh, man, that's funny. What's that one? Do you know what the INFJ is? I can't remember.
Like its title? No.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
It's awesome. Because, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ooh, kind of helped me feel better when I pushed on my forehead. I think I might keep doing that. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Does it make me sound a little bit strained?
Not at all.
The Shortest Date of My Life by Ben Parsons. Him.
What?
It's not you.
Wait.
It's me. I can't control my bowel movements.
Oh.
Come on! It's sort of true. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Zach, the awful person. Zach and Jamie going bananas.
I know.
The website,
what a duo,
is grapesofrad.com. The iTunes is grapesofrad.
You know what I was thinking about this week concerning those two things?
Please do.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your favorite type of listener sort of feedback of all the various ways are iTunes reviews.
I think so, yes.
Am I accurate
yes, yes.
in that assumption? My favorite
ass
is website comments. Those are my favorites. And
I like those
32
too.
Was blowing up a thread.
It was.
I mean, getting it going, and I love that.
We had the Mark Driscoll showed up.
Yeah, Mark Driscoll
and then,
was there.
Who was that other? There was another fairly famous person.
Oh, Chris Gaines?
Right, yeah, yeah, who was actually another different famous person.
So rad.
Thank you, listener. Stop by the website.
Yes.
And check it. Tell a friend.
Holla at you boys.
Mm. I have no idea what I'm doing. Help. Help me.
Speaking of websites.
Oh, dear God.
I have some links.
You're hungover and I have
everybody.
Allergies.
I know, right?
This is a disaster.
What a show.
The Grapes of Red, disaster number 33. There were these pants. Okay. Called Zubas.
I was gonna say Zubas. I had a mouthful of coffee.
I have a picture. There's a picture of my dad.
Stop it.
My brother
Stop
and
it.
I.
Stop it.
Wearing
Stop.
Our Zubas. And the greatest part of the picture
that needs to be on the site.
In my opinion, we'll have to scan it because it's
okay.
Not digital.
All right.
My brother is like 12 or something. And so his feet are way out of scale with the rest of his body.
Yeah.
His feet are like this, like they're like loaves of bread attached to his legs. And
yes.
He's like standing there with his arms crossed with like a green neon shirt or something. Dude, the Zubas. And then also
joke.
The overalls with one strap undone.
That
I totally
was
rocked
your
that.
Jam.
I totally
I'm not
rocked.
At all surprised. If somebody said
the
to
mock
me,
turtleneck
picture
with
Ben
the
in
one...
the yes, that's it.
The
that's
Squire
it.
Shop, dude,
oh,
Mr.
Sick.
Rags, dude.
Sick.
Oh,
see, while you were rocking,
hell yes.
while you were rocking the one strap overalls, I was wearing bum equipment and hypercolor. Like those are my two jams.
That's respectable.
Define respectable.
Compare it to me.
Yeah,
compared to what I was doing, it's quite respectable.
Well,
international news.
All my friends were wearing Big Johnson. You remember them? I was never allowed.
Oh, yes.
Never allowed.
Oh, yes. Those were quite popular at Shelton High.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, the ones with the four-wheel drive trucks on them especially. Yeah.
I think they ended up banning those from my high school. They had a super strict shorts policy. And
a dress code.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, really, really strict. And, you know, a 17-year-old girl, like, really? And girls were always getting in trouble and, like... We're like, dude, this is not, like, why?
That's ours so was, stupid. Ours was so great in Shelton because the main thing that you couldn't have any profanity on your shirt, but you weren't supposed to wear shirts that depicted alcohol or tobacco or drugs.
Okay.
But Shelton has such a wide range of poor people whose wardrobes are made up
consistently of
at least half of like Winston or Camel advertising. Like, yeah, my dad bought a double pack of smokes and this shirt was wrapped around it, and it's the only shirt I have.
Right.
So they know they can't tell the kid. Like, so there would once in a while you'd see the kid walking around with the inside out Camel. But I'm serious, like, they knew they couldn't tell the kids, you can't wear that, because it's like, that's all, I saved up enough Camel bucks, or whatever.
Go home.
I got you a Christmas present.
Go home and change that shirt that says Copenhagen on it. I can't, because my only other one says Skull. So...
And it's a girl.
Your move. Speaking of high school... I saw this. I was home the other day, and I think I was editing voicemails, and I had the news on, and I saw this breaking story, right? Breaking news, and it was at a high school in Mill Creek, which is, how far is Mill Creek from here? Like 25 minutes north or something like that? Breaking news, high school. I'm thinking, oh man, like,
shooting.
People are dead.
Yeah.
Right. Food fight.
Really?
Cafeteria
on the news.
Food fight.
That's a bad food fight.
Breaking news. Nothing happened. Nobody got hurt. Food fight.
I'm imagining like a frozen chicken nugget, like popping somebody's eyeball out.
Nothing. Nothing.
Just.
But
there was a big mess.
There's a story.
Breaking news.
The article, which I didn't print out because I figured I could just sum it up like this, but they basically. So you know how local news will make, like, mountain ranges out of molehills? And, like, they were gravely serious. Like, if you substituted food fight with school shooting, it would have been...
Damn it.
It would have fit completely, right? So I read this article later, because they had some, like, cell phone footage of what was going on. Dude, it was this baracus food fight. Like, 100 kids.
Nice.
And it was planned earlier in the day, so like everybody knew it was going to happen.
Ooh.
And I'm reading this article, and they get some information from some of the kids who were there. Apparently everybody knew it was going to go down, so there was a sort of like somebody's waiting for to fire the first shot.
Oh,
type
yeah.
of like
oh,
the
yeah.
old guy with the bow,
the calm
at Helm's Deep. You know what I mean?
Storm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a single milk carton
yes!
went flying across the room.
That's the best.
And it just erupted. And the kids are talking to these journalists. I guess this is written. This is a written article. And they're giving these interviews, and they are. They have the perfect attitude, and it comes across so clearly. One kid's like, "Yeah, so, like my friend hit me right in the face with a slice of tomato. Like, it was so fun.
Breaking
like, it
news?
Was great. Yeah,
breaking news.
So apparently, the faculty flipped out. They went on like lockdown. Nobody was allowed to go back to class. They had to clean up. I mean, because it was a terrible, horrible mess. But they're talking about like canceling the prom next week, and like they suspended like a ton of students. And
oh my
just, like,
goodness,
guys, it's a fucking food fight! Like
they weren't throwing
everybody
knives.
Wants to do this,
were
right?
They?
No, I mean, they were throwing tater tots.
Oh wait, I know what's going on here.
Uh-oh.
It's the peanut allergies. Some kid got hit with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and went into anaphylactic shock.
No, nobody got hurt. There wasn't.
What the fuck?
Not
Mill
an
Creek?
Injury anywhere.
Have them clean up the cafeteria. Right?
Yes.
I mean,
Big deal.
They are
breaking news,
dude. Breaking news. They had like copter shots, and there was a reporter on the phone.
We have reports that there is a food fight that has broken out, and students, they're talking about.
They said expelled a few times, and students weren't expelled. They were just suspended. Like, they just trumped this thing
local
up.
Local news.
I hate local news.
Stop it.
Also on local news, apparently this week was the 60-day countdown to Seafair.
I don't even...
You know what Seafair
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but 60...
ladies
Isn't
and
that where hydroplanes race around yeah. in the lake?
Ladies and gentlemen who listen to the show, Seattle can be really retarded.
The Blue Angels.
The butt-fucking Blue Angels. There is this thing that they do every year. It's called Seafair, and it's basically those super fast boats, you know, racing, and like people just go down to the water, and it's like it's this thing. And first of all, that hydro boat racing is the dumbest
yeah.
idea maybe ever. And then they have the Blue Angels, and they shut down like highways and cities for them to do their practice flyovers. When Megan and I moved out here from New Jersey.
I love this story.
Oh my God, I'm going to get mad. When we were driving this jam-packed U-Haul truck, and I got a smaller truck, but it was like packed to the brim, right?
There was a very large TV.
It was a little bit top heavy too.
Oh.
So we'd hit ruts in the road and it would just like start swaying. And so my jaw was clenched the entire like 4 days or whatever it took us to get out here, right? Towing our car behind us, our tire blew, the tire on the dolly blew in Montana, and we had to wait like 4 hours for somebody to get to us to fix the tire. It was just this awful, awful trip, and we had two cats with us, and we finally we're on I-90, we get to Seattle, we're on the east side, and we're gonna cross I-90.
You're almost to the promised
to get
land.
Over to the city, and it's Seafair. And the fucking Blue Angels are flying overhead, and they shut down the bridge. So it had been several years since I was in Seattle, and I wasn't exactly sure what was going on. And I ended up turning off an exit where I saw a lot of people turning off, thinking we were going to do this detour thing. And it was in Mercer Island, which those of us from the East Coast, you know what tiny roads are. Like, it's tiny roads. Like, there are no sidewalks. It's just a little path, and like you kind of have to inch on the grass to let somebody pass you. Like, it's pretty intense. And here I am in like a giant moving truck towing a car, and I get to this dead end, and it's like vertical. Like, it's so steep. I get to this dead end. I have to do this K-turn, and all these uppity Mercer Island residents are just out there staring, just waiting for me to bump one of their cars so they can call the police. It was a nightmare. I was just swearing, and we had to take another bridge, and all I wanted to do was get home. I just wanted to get to where we were going. It had been 4 days of misery, of trying not to flip this truck over. And the Blue Angels.
These guys... Not only do they do this performance that shuts down huge chunks of traffic, but they do practices beforehand,
right.
like weeks beforehand. And these guys are so loud, it will shake your house.
Yeah,
like,
car alarms are set
My
off.
House is shaking. My kids are freaking out because the stupid fighter jets are flying around doing tricks. And last year when they were flying over the house I was working on, I just looked up and was like, F you! And there's this like 15-year-old girl in the backyard of the house next to me, just looking at me like, you just flipped off the Blue Angels. Like, what's
yeah,
your problem?
But this, okay, so, but they're the sort of like untouchable, like, oh, everybody loves the Blue Angels. Like,
no.
Those guys are so, like, yeah, they're great pilots, but they're dickheads.
Go fly over the Pacific or something.
I don't want to see, yeah. There's
retards.
A giant body of water. Why do you have to fly over major thoroughfares? Maybe they didn't want to crash into where those boats are racing at 4 million miles an hour and people are dying.
I think that's the crossover, is that the Blue Angels are Navy planes, and that the Hydros are basically jets that go on the water. They're right. Jet engines, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Something like that.
I'm so glad we get to ream Seafair.
Oh, I hate Seafair. Hate it. I'm worthless.
Aw.
Oh,
I dropped my pen. I have a local story, which is fairly messed up. I don't know if it qualifies as that's messed up or local news. You decide.
Okay.
Linwood, Washington. A 78-year-old Linwood woman is accused of beating her 84-year-old husband because she believes he cheated on her several times during their marriage.
How old?
78. He's 84.
Oh!
The Everett Herald reports that she was arrested last month, charged Thursday with assault, and remains jailed in Everett on $70,000 bail.
Oh, shh!
You remember the drunk driver who got $200 bail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The pinball wizard?
Snohomish County prosecutors say she hit him with a bowl, a pipe, and a carpet sweeper.
What is this, Clue?
The first thing that came to my mind was smoking implements when I read bowl, pipe.
But then I'm like, wait,
she's 78. It's probably like a salad bowl.
Maybe she has
and
the
like
glaucoma.
A lead pipe.
Aw.
He suffered. Okay, I'm like, ha ha ha, this is funny. He suffered broken ribs, pelvis, and wrist.
Oh my God.
Beat him almost to death.
Wait.
The salad
he's
bowl.
He's 84.
Yes.
How is he? He's cheating?
What? One witness.
He must listen to the Grapes of Rad.
One witness told police.
Oh, no.
The woman admitted kicking her husband three times in the groin in the last 6 months because she believed he had an affair 35 years
Stop
ago.
It! Come on!
It's payback time, bitch! Boom! Lead pipe to the pelvis. I'm old! Yeah. Boom! Salad bowl to the ribs.
Oh my
carpet
God.
Sweeper? What the fuck is a carpet sweeper? I don't even know what that is.
Like a Swiffer, maybe?
It's one of those things you roll, like a vacuum that you don't plug in.
Oh, just... those old people. Yeah, old people have those. Yes.
Well, apparently they do.
Yes.
And they can wield them.
Holy God.
With lethal force.
Jeez.
Dude.
Absurd. That is, I mean, that's messed up, but we were on the local news tip, and I like that. That fits. That's sort of a nice transition. But is there anything you need to cover before we go into our patented That's Messed
Up? Before That's Messed
Up. TMU, as it were.
I would like to refer the listener to the links page at grapesofrad.com, where we'll be linking to what is sort of the video Prozac for the week, but is actually more of a still photo Prozac, awkwardfamilyphotos.com. Listener Phil referred this to
that.
Me in the show.
Okay.
I looked through pages of these the other day, and I was just sitting on my kid's floor, just laughing, just scrolling through pictures, laughing, laughing. And I'm like, I hope they don't ask me to explain this because I'm not going to be able to. Really good stuff. Like, people send in their own... Like, a lot of the people, there was some really bad ones where it's just like, is this a joke? And it's this family who knows, like, they were going through their photos and they were like, oh, dear God, like, this is so bad. And they will send it into the website and be like, look at this. Like, this is us.
Yeah.
And we are awful. Like, please post us on your website. You know? So pretty good times. Makes you feel better. Like the video Prozac, but it is still photo Prozac for the week.
I was looking at one that was... awkward. I don't know if it was awkward or not, but it was like senior photos. Beautiful. It was like just photos. awful senior pictures, and some of them were pretty astonishing.
Where they're doing this thing like
the awkward pose,
they're
like
standing
the prom
with
pose.
Their hands out, like
lots of like fists on the chin, and like people like on horseback, and like guys in like Jedi robes, it's pretty amazing. There's one couple, and I don't know how this happened, but there's a couple, and they're both shirtless. It's a but they're like chest to chest, you know, and she's kind of got her, she's kind of got her arm up so you can't see her boobs, but she's like pregnant.
It's like a pregnant, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you don't, do you not know about this?
No.
There's this whole culture around this, being married to a midwife, as I am. Apparently, in Seattle, as an organic yogurt granola eating hippie who's pregnant, it is a requirement that you get photos of your naked ass pregnant body taken in multiple poses, like black and white, like sheets draped across you. We did our childbirthing class at this lady's house. This lady is a very well known in the birthing community. Her house is jammed with naked pregnant women photos.
Come on.
She's got like a 12-year-old son, and I just feel like the guy's walking around like, everywhere I look, there's just engorged tits staring at me. Like he's, I don't know what's going to happen
like
to him.
Swollen.
What's, yeah.
Women.
No, I think that pregnant women often look really beautiful. So
yeah,
I kind of
sure
understand that.
Absolutely.
But can we just turn it down a notch?
Yeah, there's no need to have your house
just,
festooned.
Can we just turn it down a notch?
Oh, God. something about people who go balls out on something that just you shouldn't be full tilt about. I love that. I have an awkward thing.
Grapes out.
Great, you heard me. Yes, everybody's into awkward family photos right now. It seems to be the move. It's the jam right now. I have another awkward site. Awkwardboners.com.
What?
Awkwardboners.com.
You mean in the British sense, like mistakes, right?
No. Nor do I mean Mike Seaver's friend. I mean boners.
Photos of dudes
with boners.
With erections.
Yes. And it's...
These are clothed
dudes. Yeah, they're clothed like a dude, like lots of guys sleeping and they have like boners and like somebody took a picture of them or like they're in a situation where you clearly should not have a boner and they have a boner. Now, some of it maybe could be pants penis.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with pants penis? Yeah. But
the
I don't
listener
think
may
so.
Not be familiar.
Pants penis, listener, is when the fly of your pants.
There's a tiny one.
I might be able to work this right now. Something like that.
You
like
sit
the,
down
you
and
sit
the,
down,
the fly bunches up in a wad like fashion.
And it looks as if you are sporting an erection.
You possibly have a tiny boner.
Yes, but you are not. It is merely pants penis.
Some of them are definitely that.
Some of them are probably,
most
yes,
of them are real. Like, I checked it out, and yes. I'm like, oh, dear God. Like, there's this one.
The lion's share is authentic, I think.
It's probably my favorite one of this group of, like, 10 people. They're, like, cascading down the stairs, like, facing each other and kind of hugging and stuff. And the
and
one
it's, like, 85% chicks.
The one dude in the front has his hands on the on this girl's, like, it's his girlfriend or something, on her hips. And he's, like, looking at the camera, and he's just like, Barrr. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah. Which, it makes me... Since I saw that site, I've been walking around school like, don't have a boner. Okay, good. Like, yeah. I'm afraid someone's going to take a picture of me like, busting on there. Like, I'm going to be talking to my, you know, my math teacher who's like this 70-year-old woman or whatever. And, you know, someone's going to be like, check this out.
Yes,
that's my zipper.
Awkwardboners.com. And they have a rating system where you can click and decide, is this awkward or is this understandable?
Yeah. The stairway one for me was understandable.
Possibly.
I don't know what it was about the... I think maybe it was the high number of chicks to dudes
yes,
ratio.
Yes, a high chicks to dude ratio.
That'll do it to you.
But that, of course, will be on the links page at grapesofrad.com.
Of course.
And now, a little segment we like to call That's Messed Up.
Oh, yeah.
The grapes of what? What in the hell... That's messed up, man.
A man who was not Viggo Mortensen, but had a history of violence. See what I did there? Was arrested.
That is messed up.
I didn't write that like down. That was off the top. That was off my skull.
Okay, I guess that makes it a little better.
Okay, thank you. Was
is this,
arrested.
Is this going to be about a guy, like, fighting naked?
He might as well be nude. That wouldn't add any more absurdity
okay.
to what you're about to hear.
I'm ready.
A man with a history of violence was arrested on the Interstate 70 median in Colorado last week after swinging a set of nunchucks in front of a Summit County sheriff's officer. It gets better. He was wearing a full-length trench coat and declared he was kicked off a bus in Silverthorne while on his way from Denver to Los Angeles.
Weird.
Which apparently is where they keep these batshit crazy people. The man said he had been riding the bus when he saw a girl with the swine flu and attempted to eliminate her by grabbing her throat, according to the police report. Another passenger hit the man, and he was thrown off the bus before he got into a fight with a gang at a gas station, the Silverthorne man said. So they kicked him off at a gas station, and he picked a fight with a gang.
A gang.
Okay. Authorities found the man after receiving a call that he was in the I-70 median waving his arms at cars and screaming. As the officer approached, the man turned his back, hiding his hands. When the man turned around, the officer spotted the nunchucks in his pants and asked if he was carrying a weapon, to which the man responded, "Yeah, I'm a karate master."
Oh my god.
The man began to swing the nunchucks around his upper body. The officer then aimed a Taser X26 at the man, decided he was too far away for that, and began reaching for his handgun. The karate master, as the article now refers to him,
yes,
dropped the nunchucks and began to walk away. A knife, some marijuana, were both discovered on the man, in addition to the traditional Asian weapon.
Any throwing stars?
En route to the Summit County Jail, the man told the officer, quote, that he was 468 years old, and he was being hunted across the country by priests, nuns, monks, according to the report.
It's the Highlander.
He said he had just gotten out of prison after a prior assault in which he was shot in the foot by Denver police. Although the man acknowledged he's prohibited from owning nunchucks in Colorado, he said he could get another pair if the ones he was carrying were taken. He also talked to imaginary people while riding to the jail.
Okay. Number one, this guy is awesome.
Yes, dude!
I had some... He's did you have nunchucks master. As a kid?
Did I what?
Did you have nunchucks as a kid? Is it numchucks or
none?
None. Like, I don't have nunchucks?
That's right.
Okay. Did you have a set?
Yeah, like a play set. I was never very good at them because I would injure myself in a matter of seconds.
We had some white trash neighbors out in Timber Lakes whose laundry and sewer... Basically, they lived in a single wide trailer and all of the sewer water from their home just went out of a pipe onto the ground into a ditch off into the forest. So, like, if you went to their house, you would just see, like, turds floating down this river into the forest. This guy, who is obviously awesome, probably the dude from the story, made us...
Well, he's 468, so there's a chance.
Nunchucks.
No!
Out of broom handles with chain, and one of them was, like, a triple set, like, three, you know?
Yeah!
And we have, I think, oh man, I don't know if we have pictures of us doing that too, but
oh my god,
it was
dude.
Awesome. It was awesome. Yeah, this kid punched me in the nose.
No.
Yeah, I couldn't, and then he ran. I tried to chase him, but my boots were—I had rain boots on, and they were full of water, so I couldn't run. So, just started studying schizophrenia in my abnormal psych class.
Yeah,
and this dude is 100%
textbook
bona fide. Like
absolutely.
That's paranoid schizophrenia.
That's exactly what it
is. He needs to go to the hospital.
He's hearing voices. He feels threatened. He's acting the fool.
I love that I'm a karate master makes it into the... Didn't you know?
And they referred... I summarized the article here, but they kept referring to him as the karate master.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
that
yeah.
was his name
mm-hmm.
from then on. Outstanding.
You're going to love this one, dude. A called-in bomb threat that caused the evacuation of Martin's Point on Farley Road in Brunswick for a short time Wednesday. A receptionist at the Martin's Point Medical Center picked up the phone and heard what she thought was, "There's a bomb nearby."
Oh, no.
The report went to the police, who responded with a bomb-detecting dog and evacuated the building for 45 minutes. Nothing was found. But as police investigated further, they learned that there was never any threat in the first place. As it turns out, the call was placed by a girl who was trying to reach her mother at work, but dialed the wrong number, Walt said. When she asked the receptionist, "Is my mom nearby?" the receptionist asked the girl to repeat herself. Again, the question, "Is my mom nearby?" was misheard. After interviewing all the parties involved, Walt said it was clear that when the girl realized she had the wrong number, she hung up. But the call led to the area being searched for a bomb. Walt said there was no wrongdoing involved, just a clear case of miscommunication. I guess the moral of this story is that if you get a wrong number, stay on the line so you can offer the person on the other line more information, he said.
Guys, wait, you're...
Is my mom nearby? What? What did you just say? Is my mom nearby? You're the receptionist, lady. If there's one person in the building who needs to be able to hear what people are saying on the phone, it's you! What if I was a bombardier? Bomb!
This is another listener Nick contribution. He brought this to my awareness.
Rock and roll.
Parents Elizabeth Holland and Lasse Didding wanted to protest this new law in Sweden that says first names shall not be approved if they can cause offense or can be supposed to cause discomfort for the one using it, or names which for some obvious reason are not suitable as a first name. Uh-huh. So Sweden had this law that said there are certain things you cannot name your child.
Yeah, I don't think that's new, though.
No, this was back in 91.
Yeah, because I had some friends who told us, they were like, yeah, you can't, like in America, you could name your kid Satan.
Yeah.
But we can't do that in Sweden.
No.
And I'm like, okay.
So in protest, they attempted...
Oh, no.
To name their child, and I'm going to spell this out, BRFXXCCXXMNPCCCLLMMNPRXVCLMNCKSSQLBB 11116.
What? The numbers at the end are really just top it off.
Pronounced Albin.
You guys, it sounds like a Roman numeral. You know the copyright, like
yeah.
It's like, how do you spell that?
Oh, Albin.
Yeah, can I see your license?
BRFXXCC.
Quit fucking with me, son. You think you're funny? Hand over your license. Oh my.
Oh my god.
Only the first 27 letters can fit.
Because the parents failed to register a name by the boy's fifth birthday, a district court in Halmstad, southern Sweden, fined them 5,000 kronor, which is about $600. Responding to the fine, the parents submitted the 43-character name, claiming that it was, quote, a pregnant, expressionistic development that we see as an artistic creation.
Whoa. Quote.
The parents suggested the name be understood in the spirit of pataphysics.
Whoa.
So, yeah, these are the types of people we're dealing with. The court rejected the name immediately and upheld the fine. The parents then tried to change the spelling of the name to the letter A, also pronounced Albin.
Just the letter A. Okay.
Once again, the court refused to approve the name, citing a prohibition on one-letter fucking names for people.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you... This is where it gets weird. It's like if you're born in Egypt or Libya or something, and that name is common there, and you bring it with you to the U.S.,
right,
and it sounds a little funny or whatever. Like, okay, that's one thing. But then you've got this other weird thing where people don't want to use their names because they're hard to pronounce, so they come up with this American name. Like, there's a girl in my law class, and her name on all the class stuff is Monica.
What?
And I really want to ask her about it. I'm like, I think that her first and last name are probably hard to say. So she was like, I'll pick an American name. How about Monica? Like M-O-N-I-K-A. And what's your last name?
My what?
Monica. Like, you're not allowed to do that. Glad she didn't pick Lewinsky.
There's a chance, and I'm not sure about this. I heard Cameron, whose last name is Nicholas, talk about an Uncle Nick on that side of the family. So there's a chance there's a Nicholas out there. My name is Jonas.
Hey, Grapes of Rad. This is listener Tim. And you are correct. I am, in fact, half Mexican. Ben, you are completely wrong. I'm not half Italian. And I looked up Cinco de Mayo last year because I didn't know anything about it. And rather than looking it up again and conveying that information, I thought it'd be funnier to tell you what I think I remember from looking it up last year, which is it is not the Mexican Independence Day. I don't remember when that is, but it is in celebration of a victory in battle. I believe that they were fighting off the French or something like that at a fort, and they managed to sort of beat back the French at that point, but it was kind of a hollow victory because I believe not long after that the French came back and just defeated them, just decimated them. So I don't even really know why anybody would celebrate what is essentially a small win in the face of a big loss, but I don't know. Here we are. So, yeah, and I don't think it's a very big thing in Mexico. I think it's more of an American tradition. So, anyway, there's your history lesson for this week. Talk to you guys later.
I don't know much about Cinco de Mayo. I'm never sure what it's all about. But I say I want you and you don't believe me.
A snuggie-wearing thief who allegedly attempted to break into the Main Street grocery.
Stop immediately. First of all, what about a snuggie implicates like maneuverability? If you're going to rob a place, why are you wearing a blanket?
Because it's outstandingly comfortable.
Hate snuggies.
A snuggie wearing thief who allegedly attempted to break into the Main Street grocery on Friday night was thwarted when witnesses spied him stacking crates to gain access through a window, police said. The first couple calls they got was there's this guy in a trench coat. And then the cops show up and they're like, well, not a trench coat, but it's gotta be this guy. Like, retard.
This doofus.
Did your mom sew that for you? Like, are those your pajamas? Like, what's going on? You can rob a store without taking your blanket off. Or you can attempt to.
It's got sleeves, so you can. Oh, stack crates. Cut glass. Run slowly and awkwardly from the authorities.
I'm imagining him like diving off the roof like flying squirrel.
Oh man, I hate that. I hate everything about that. How about another listener submission?
X1116
was arrested. Listener Sean sent this in. Star buying listener Sean.
Awesome.
An office worker cleaning out a fridge full of rotten food in San Jose, California.
That's my hometown, by the way.
Is it? Look at you.
Born.
Oh, that's where you were born. That's right.
In the Jose.
Created a smell so noxious that it sent 7 coworkers to the hospital and made many others ill.
Whoa.
Firefighters had to evacuate the AT&T building in downtown San Jose Tuesday after the flagrant fumes prompted someone to call 911. A hazmat team was brought in. What they found was an unplugged refrigerator that had been crammed with moldy food. Authorities said an enterprising office worker had decided to clean it out.
Nice.
And they placed the food on a conference in a conference room while using cleaning chemicals to scrub down all this mess that was in the fridge. The mixture of old lunches and disinfectant caused 28 people to need treatment for vomiting and nausea.
Whoa.
Authorities said the worker, get this, who cleaned out the fridge didn't need treatment. She can't smell because of allergies.
That is going to be the next terrorist attack on U.S. soil.
Moldy office food.
A bunch of halal meats jammed into a fridge. Dude.
Because y'all know, y'all that work in offices and have office fridges, you know what a nasty, nasty vacuum that can be. People just leave stuff. And
how big is this building?
I don't know.
The AT&T building in Santa, that's Silicon Valley. Like, this is probably like a huge office building.
Right. I figure it's probably getting into the ventilation and they don't want to take any risks, and it's probably protocol that if there's some sort of a
I just love that the parking
nauseous
lot is full of vomiting people because this one lady who can't smell cleaned out the fridge.
Hell yeah.
That'd be a lesson to you. Terrorists hate us for our fridges.
And our Baywatch.
Wow.
Do you have anything else, Holmes?
Oh, that reminded me of a story in England where somebody called the like terrorist response unit or whatever because everybody was like sneezing and getting watery eyes, and then it turned out to just be this a restaurant was roasting chilies. Like,
oh, come on.
And they really were like,
wow.
Cops bust in and everything, and they're just like standing there like roasting these chilies. Like, this is how we do, guys.
You guys are dicks.
Relax, honky.
Honky.
Yeah. A man who tried to hire a prostitute to take his 14-year-old son's virginity.
What?
As a present. Was spared jail by a British court on Friday. The Polish national took the boy out in his car and allowed him to pick out the prostitute.
Oh my god.
Who was standing by the side of the road in the red light district in Nottingham, central England. But the 42-year-old father was arrested because the teenager had chosen an undercover police officer!
Yeah,
you know,
boy!
What are you doing, dude? Like, buy him a Super Soaker? Buy him a PlayStation?
I know.
Come on. What's the hurry?
Get him a Playboy if you're that intent.
For fuck's sake.
Jeez. Okay, I have two potential stories here. One is about underage sex. And one is about vagina.
Wait, those are two different things?
Two different stories.
Hmm. Is there any way to combine them into one fictitious story?
Yes. Okay.
Then he goes across the street.
You know, the Office finale was this past week.
I missed
it. The season finale of The Office. It was tremendous. And
yeah.
I haven't been a fan of The Office lately. But they did well.
They brought it.
They brought it. They brought their game. I just love Brian, Brian's his real name, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's my favorite. 26-year-old William Wagner of Maryland, met a 15-year-old girl through the social networking website MySpace.
Wait. People still use MySpace?
I know, right? That's messed up. End of story. He then rode his bicycle 180 miles to Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Whoa, dude.
To have sex with this 15-year-old girl. Mr. Wagner pleaded guilty to unlawful contact with a minor. Apparently, while he was in Scranton, he slept at the Pine Brook baseball field. And that's where he took this this girl to have sex with her.
Great.
Several times, police said. So he's a classy guy on top of all of this.
Shit.
After he left Scranton, the girl told her parents that she had sex with this guy, and then they reported it to the police, and he's getting 4 years in prison, and he's going to have to register as a sex offender under Megan's law for 10 years. He's going to have to walk around and tell everybody that he's a sex offender.
8-year-olds, dude.
Solid. Okay. First of all, you rode your bike 180 miles. Also, Scranton, because I've been there, is in the mountains. Like, it's up there. That's not an easy ride from coastal Maryland.
That... Yeah, on flat ground, that is a tough ass ride.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long way. And here, ladies, this is what you need to know about the dude. When the dude gets an idea in his head involving sex, the dude will do...
Oh my God.
Anything.
Oh my God.
The dude will ride his broke-ass 10-speed rusty Schwinn bike up a 180-mile hill because he's got a boner. And someone's taking a picture of it and
true.
Posting it on Awkward Boners.
True. Yeah, this guy clearly rode for several days with a boner up to the mountains in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I looked it up.
To the baseball.
They had a map of where this baseball field was, and it was behind, they have a ballpark in Scranton, like for the AAA team or whatever they had there. It's pretty nice.
The Hackensack Bulls.
And I, holla. And I played, I was in marching band 1 year in high school, and we played this like regional championship at this stadium in Scranton.
A band championship?
Yeah.
Like marching band?
Mm-hmm. Like an East Coast tournament type thing.
What were you playing in it?
I played the quints, those five drums
right.
that are out in front
yeah.
of you.
I knew that, but I forgot it somehow.
My grandparents have up in their house a really embarrassing picture of me, like in my marching band outfit with the drums
yes!
and like the hat with the
pomp
feather thingy. And yeah, it's in front of this awful blue,
dude,
like powder, robin's egg blue screen.
If you have to be in the band outfit marching around, at least you're playing drums.
That's word on the streets, man.
I was carrying a clarinet.
Oh! Dude.
There's this little clip
that's
that
really
holds your
lame.
Music on it.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play and look at your... Yeah. Yeah.
Dude!
We didn't really do any cool marching stuff either. We just kind of walked.
Oh, we did. We were pretty hardcore. Yeah. I was on the... we were on the Miss America pageant 1 year. Because it's in Atlantic City. Yeah, and I played a snare drum...
Did you ride your bike?
...for that one. No, I did not. And, we were on TV.
You knew the Miss New Jersey, didn't you?
Yes.
I believe you got a back massage from her at some point.
I certainly did.
Your claim to fame?
I certainly did.
The high point of your young teen life?
She was lovely. She was Miss New Jersey several years ago. But yeah, fully gave me a back rub. I went down to, to a shore house when I was a kid.
I'm hoping you have business time playing right now.
All right. Danny. I was in like eighth grade and I went down to the shore with these seniors who had a shore house, and I went down for the weekend. I don't know where my mom was that she let me do this.
What?
But yeah. But I went down and I have some great stories. Maybe I'll tell them later on the show. But Miss New Jersey and her boyfriend at the time, who was a great guy, I pretty much like would have to leave the house and walk around so they could bang, and then come back in, and I'm like, hey guys, how's everything?
But
I'm gonna sit here and play Nintendo.
You got invited simply because you were playing the drums versus the clarinet. See, I wouldn't have been invited
to the shore house.
Yeah.
Oh, this is well before my marching band days.
Damn it!
I do remember Zimas. I think that was my first experience with Zima.
Oh no!
And dropping like lifesavers into them or something.
Oh no!
And I kept walking around. I'm like, I've had like three Zimas
in eighth grade.
Yeah,
dude. Let me tell you something, listener. Believe it or not, I did not have a drink of the alcohol until my 21st birthday.
What?
Not a bit.
Are you serious?
Yes. And it was at Red Robin.
Dude.
And I got this giant drink with like all this shit hanging out of it. And I started drinking it before my food came. I got like a third of the way through it. And I was like slurring. Like, I was like,
you.
That was long ago.
I need an obligatory Florida story. I can't let a week go by without telling a story.
Thank you.
About Florida. And we've all been to high school. Hopefully we've all graduated from high school or gotten the equivalent. And one of the big sort of landmarks, flags, if you will, of walking through the high school journey is the yearbook.
Sure.
I have my yearbook outside of that door. You know, you it's a collection of memories. You can look back. It's really funny. I'm actually in about 9 group/club photographs that I do not belong in because I was not members to any of their clubs. But it was photo day, and I told my teachers I'm going to go get my picture taken as many times as possible. There's me.
Way to go.
Dude, I'm in like a student council officer's picture. There's only like 6 total people in this picture, and I'm one of them and do not belong. And I'm labeled in every single one of them. Yeah, big time.
Oh, man.
So you hold on to this.
Sure.
Yearbook. It's a memory of a time in your life. Wouldn't it be unfortunate if in one of those photographs you exposed your vagina?
Oh no. Oh no.
My goodies, not my goodies.
There is a girl outside of Tampa, Florida, who didn't wear underwear to school on photo day because she didn't want panty lines shown. And apparently, you can see her vag. Her mother is flipping out and wants all of these things, you know, taken back and reprinted.
Which I don't want eBay for $250. Yeah.
They've already given out, like, the seniors get theirs early, you know, so all the seniors have them, and that's how they figured out what was going on. She wants to have them all taken back and reprinted.
This is so awful.
I don't know how expensive that is when you've got 1,200 students at your school. And she's not a senior. She has to go back. Yeah. What embarrassing happened to you in high school, Ben? Well, you know, it's one day I fell down in the cafeteria and, I said something stupid in class one day. Like, that was pretty embarrassing. Yet everyone in school saw my vagina in the yearbook.
I'm gonna cry. Like, okay, what's worse, panty lines or your pussy? Which one would you rather have people see? Ask Paris Hilton.
I think she's 16. That's like, I know she's illegal. Not a senior.
Like, that's like a crime.
Yeah. Now, what the school's saying is it's a shadow. I don't know if the school's saying it, but whoever's in defense of keeping
the guy who's trying to protect his company from getting sued for publishing the picture.
Yeah. Is saying it's a shadow. And she's like, that's not a shadow.
How,
that's my vagine.
How do you get that into a picture, like, for the yearbook? Like, don't they just take a picture of your head?
No, it was a group shot. So it wasn't her portrait.
Oh, it was
she was sitting down, right, in a skirt, and wasn't sitting properly, and was duding it out, and you could see up her skirt, I guess.
The only way this story could be any worse was if she actually had a penis.
Oh, man.
And then it would be awkward boner day at North Tampa High School or wherever this shit went down.
Dude, when I went to high school, every day was awkward boner day.
No kidding. Damn it. Can't stand up. Listener, thank you for joining us. This has been show number 33. It's been nice to have you along.
Yes.
I'd like you to know, listener, that I have managed to make it through the recording of this show this Saturday morning without using the toilet once.
Not once.
I did use quite a bit of toilet paper,
You have an old woman's bladder. And to blow your nose, we should clarify that that's what the toilet paper is for.
I think they heard that probably earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, but...
You know what I like is the website. I like the crazy commenting action that's happening. If you've got a story, if you've got a picture, if you've got a comment, stick it to the website. You could email us, ben@benparsons.com. Aaron is online at gmail.com. There's links on the website to do that for you, even.
Yeah,
you
don't
even have to remember
page.
That stuff.
A submit box.
Go to the contact page and click. Click away.
Thanks, everybody.
Are you going to say anything?
No. That's good.
That was the Grapes of Rad.
Stop.
It's Brule's Rules with Channel 5's Dr. Steve Brule.
Ever wonder why ice cubes taste so boring? It's because you make them out of stupid water, you bimbo. Put some fruit juice in there and freeze it into ice cubes and put that in your milk for your health.